All right. Welcome back. Welcome back, listening public. Star Wars Comics. It has been a very long time since we've done this.
Too long.
Yes. But that's what happens when you're doing a thing that you're not getting paid for in any way, shape, or form. It's easy to get behind on it.
We all have real lives. Yes.
I think you call that a hobby.
So if you want these more regularly, maybe grease the wheels a little bit.
Please don't pay. Please don't
sell yourself to the man.
Payments are accepted in cash,
Bitcoin,
recreational drugs.
Yeah.
Give us money. And, give us your money in particular.
Yeah. Or just be patient with us. But either way, we're back now talking about Star Wars number 5.
Number 5.
And the penultimate issue of this arc. This is much better than Princess Leia that we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
I feel like we just recorded that because I just published it a couple days ago, and I was listening to it again, but we recorded that more than a month ago. Let's try not to do that big a gap again.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to be back on this comic because it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for the crawl?
Yeah, let's
yes.
Take us out, Kyle. Go.
Book 1, Part 5, Skywalker Strikes. It is a period of renewed hope for the Rebellion. The evil Galactic Empire's greatest weapon, the Death Star, has been destroyed by the young Rebel pilot, Luke Skywalker. But Skywalker knows he has a long way to go if he ever hopes to become a true Jedi. Seeking clues to his destiny, he has returned home to Tatooine. Meanwhile, Darth fucking Vader is seeking answers of his own and has hired the notorious bounty hunter Boba Fett to track down the pilot who destroyed the Death Star.
Neato. Hey, here's a fun fact about the crawl in general that I just learned recently. In the first draft of A New Hope, I guess that George Lucas had written a 6-paragraph crawl. And Adam De Palma, no, not Adam De Palma, he's the guy I went to school with. Brian De Palma, who directed Carrie, told him, like, hey, fucking cut this because no one's going to read it. And rest is, as they say, history.
Yeah.
So here we are in Tatooine. Luke is quoting himself. And from the first movie, saying lines in quotes. It's goofy, but it's Luke, so what do you want?
Yeah.
So he says, there's nothing for him here now. That's what I said when I left this place. Let's hope I was wrong. And then we see him and R2-D2 forging out ahead into the desert. And we get some off-screen dialogue. And we turn the page and we see Boba Fett fucking up those Guidos.
He's really. This is a different group of Guidos too, right? Like yeah. this is a different.
Oh, I assumed they were the same, but oh, no, because yeah,
they're
last
all standing.
Issue, didn't
they're
the last
standing.
Issue end with him sticking a gun in those guys' faces, though?
Yeah, but I want to assume that this is a different group because these guys are like standing.
Yeah.
Didn't he shoot out their knees? Or no, was that the other person? No,
the other person did it.
The other person shot out knees. Okay,
this
never
is.
Mind.
I want to say this is the same group of Rodians.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I feel bad for these guys. They're just constantly getting the shit kicked out of them.
It's not.
They should, like, I don't know, maybe try to pick up some legitimate work. These guys should be, like, bricklayers or something.
Yeah,
because
these
just
guys
give up.
No, we have never seen a Rodian with a very who seemed to be very good at this kind of stuff. Because the only other one that we've seen is Greedo. And
I thought he was good before he died, though, wasn't he?
I always thought he was just kind of a fuck, but like he thought he was great, but everybody, I always thought he was kind of a joke in the bounty hunting community,
But then he goes and kills a bunch of Jawas.
Yeah. This is what I wanted to talk. I've wanted to talk about this for a long time about how they're portraying Boba Fett here, because we had kicked around the idea that he might be more of an anti-hero than anything before he started going into action, and he is just straight up evil as hell here. He is
murder.
Excessively brutal.
Yeah, there is just a trail of corpses of these Jawas,
and that surprised me.
And I feel like one Jawa isn't going to have much more information than the next Jawa, so he really probably didn't need to kill all of these Jawas, because this is a lot of Jawas.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad. I like those guys. I like the Jawas.
Yeah.
But, so we see him in the Mos Eisley Cantina with all of those dudes who were there in the movie. And that must have been fun.
Oh, yeah, super familiar faces.
That must have been fun to draw. I like that the bartender is there.
This guy.
He's getting too old for this shit.
Spaceman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the classics. And then Boba Fett just looking real calm.
So he wants
the regulars of the Mos Eisley Cantina.
Mos Eisley Cantina,
Mos Eisley.
So, he's hassling, the hammerhead guy. That guy didn't do anything wrong. That's too bad.
Is the hammerhead guy capable of responding? Can he make noise?
They can make noise.
They definitely make it. They can speak a language that some other races of alien understand.
On the Rebels cartoon, there's one of those who has like a translator like clipped to his head, and that's kind of it's a neat look for that thing. And he kind of sounds like a droid when he talks through that, which. Yep. Would be convenient here, but
he's kind of racist too, huh?
Yeah, he's not a good guy. Boba Fett.
No.
I'm pretty sure Hammerhead is a slur. Like, he has a name.
It's certainly not Hammerhead. I don't think the species is even called Hammerhead.
No, those are the Authorians.
It just happened to look like a hammer.
Yeah.
Well. I honestly want to say that Hammerhead might be his name, because I remember that was my favorite shark as a kid, and when I found out that was the name of the action figure, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, no, so I mean, that's the... Because, like, there's another action figure from this that they named Snaggletooth. Like, they gave everybody, like, nicknames.
Yeah, Snaggletooth.
Yeah, Snaggletooth's in here.
So they're dominant species from Hammerheadia?
Yes.
They're the Authorians. They were in... the second Knights of the Old Republic. I don't know if any of you guys.
Yeah, Ithorians. Yeah. That's the name.
Yeah.
So it is a slur.
But, so then this guy with six arms, who looks like that one Pokemon.
Machamp? Yeah, does kind of look like a Machamp.
Or that.
Exactly what I thought.
I thought he looked like that villain in Mortal Kombat.
Goro.
So he says, only boy I see is you, Fett. And Fett says, who said that? And he says, I did. Fett sizes him up and he says, good. Boba Fett is getting off on violence a lot more than I ever imagined.
Yeah.
Like, this seems like Bossk behavior. Like, I would have thought that Boba Fett would be cooler.
No, look, he's got the Mandalorian crest right on his shoulder. He's definitely still part of the Mandalorian group.
I don't think so. They really distanced him from that in the Clone Wars show, though. Like,
I don't know.
I think that, like, the backstory is that this is another set of... I think that Jango was involved with the Mandalorians, but I don't think Boba ever really...
Because
when would he have hooked up with them?
I thought it was like that the entire time, where it's just, it's old armor. Like, he has nothing to do with the symbols on it, he just picked up
the armor. Before the reboot, there was a comic that showed that was Jango's mentor's armor. Wears. But,
something like that.
I mean, that's neither here nor there for the
person. Maybe he only vaguely knows what it means. Like, it's like those Hondas with, like, all sorts of Japanese lettering on them that, like, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
You found that on Google.
It's the galaxy far, far away equivalent of, like, a Chinese character tattoo.
Yeah.
So he rips off this guy's arm, and we get a good ARG rendering there. And he broke two of his other arms. So this guy's down to three arms.
Which is still more than average.
Yeah, he's doing all right. I mean,
when you had six and you have three, I feel like that's really crippling.
Yeah.
Depends on how they're distributed, I think.
Then he broke another arm, though.
Yeah, maybe.
So he only ends up with two arms.
Yeah, knocking him down to size. So he wants to know the boy's name. And the bartender's like, we don't know it.
I like how he won't listen to the giant man with six arms, but he'll listen to the bartender. He didn't shoot the bartender when he said that.
This guy must be a really good bartender.
Yeah.
If nobody shoots him here.
He's super tough. You don't want to mess with that bartender.
So the bartender explains that Kenobi was in here not long ago with some kid that nobody'd ever seen before. And nobody didn't know their name, his name. But then this kid makes a break for it.
Look at his. Can we talk about just his face, though? Because I really like this. Just like that, the pure. Like, I thought this was like a 10-year-old kid at first, like when this was happening. So, like, when further events unfold, I thought he was doing this to a small child. But it turns out, no, this kid looks like it might be like a young adult.
I think they have a missed opportunity here, by the way, with this Aqualish in the bar. They should have made him one-armed so that he would be the guy that.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan.
And they should have not made him speaking basic.
Yeah. That would have been cool, but so Boba Fett hogties this motherfucker and he claims he didn't know anything, and Boba Fett says, "You knew enough to run. Let's start with that." And then we cut to outside and we get a scream coming from inside.
That was super good though. That felt like really classic.
You know, it kind of reminds me of the beginning of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
When, yeah, I was gonna say Spaghetti Western. Yeah. Clint Eastwood. Like that's totally when, felt like a Clint Eastwood thing.
When Angel Eyes like shakes down the people who owe the guy, and then he kills the guy anyway. But his introduction in that movie is what that reminds me of.
Same thing.
So we cut to the Rebel fleet now, and Han is. Rattling off the list of stuff he needs to fix the Millennium Falcon after the debacle on Simoon 1.
To Leia. He's not really having his shit right now.
Nope. She's making fun of his ship again, as she seems
typical
to like to do.
Typical women.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what they're going for with this. They're like, they'll relate to this.
The ladies. Always complaining about spaceships. So Han says that they, even though they just met, he's already losing track of how many times that piece of junk has saved your life. And she says, or very nearly ended it.
Yeah, I'm going to say from firsthand experience, that's not the way to go with this argument. And she's making a bad turn.
And she wants to know why you're even bothering me with this. And it's because he likes you, Leia. This is... He's going about this in a grade school kind of way, but he's giving you a hard time because he likes you. He's saying that he's going over the head of the deck crew because they're not giving him the parts that he needs, and he figures she has some authority here to get that did. And she tells him, "Fuck off. Tough luck. There's a war on." It's been so
This next panel, though, this look Han has on his face is totally like they capture certain things from the movies in this comic that just remind me so much of it. This face, at least, this was just
like we said, I think in the very first episode that they really nail Han all times. And
I think they're doing because like Leia's face in the next page too, when she's like, "That was days ago." They got that cheating like smirk perfect.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? But then, in Darth Vader, they really lean on photo references there. Like you can see that a lot of the faces of characters that we've seen in the movies are basically like lifted from the movies.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's what's going on here. Like this guy seems to have a better Cassidy, I guess, seems to have a better handle on mannerisms and facial expressions without using photo references so much as LaRocca. But there's some weaknesses here too. Everything's got strengths and weaknesses. But
it takes practice.
Yeah. I think if nothing else, he has a real knack for Harrison Ford face though. So props are due. So he thinks that she's making excuses because she doesn't want him to leave. And she denies it, of course. And she says that he needs a co-pilot for a mission. And if he does it, she will give him the parts that he needs. And he says that he already helped her quite a lot.
Blow up the biggest weapons factory in the galaxy.
He put his name on the Empire's Most Wanted list for her. And, like, he didn't have to do that. He could have said,
yes.
He was like, hello, I'm Han Solo. Nice to meet you. Like, that was not, the plan did not hinge on him using his real name there. So I think that that's not a good tactic for him to take here.
Yeah, not really.
he gets nervous under pressure. He had a fake name, but he couldn't remember.
He's like Tony Danza. So she says that was days ago. You need to stop living in the past. He says he's going to help her one last time. And then he'll do it if he gets the parts. And she asks him after that, what's he going to do? And he tells her that she needs to stop living in the future. And he goes,
good line there. I liked it.
Yeah. Even just like watching the movies, Han Solo, he's good at the one-liners. He's full of zingers, that guy.
Yeah, they really captured that. They didn't like resist it and try to go more like the artsy, you know, really all about the story comic book. It's just, it's still the classic Star Wars stuff. They're still retaining it. I think they're pretty far in as far as I'm concerned. You know, like how long has there been Star Wars comics now?
For Marvel or in general?
In Marvel.
This has been going since January.
January? Yeah, I mean, they've been going for a decent amount of time. And I mean, I haven't hated anything yet. Yeah. So.
They just wrapped up this arc recently, so
we're getting there.
They've proven themselves at this point, I think, with this one anyway. I mean, Leia was, but we can talk about that when we talk about Leia. But so then we cut back to Tatooine.
Yeah, this is brutal. I thought this was really brutal for the comic.
Yeah. Look at all these knives that are next to his head.
Yeah, and his eyes are especially. I don't know, like, I just feel like they're very intense, like the zooming on his eyes. Yeah, very expressive of, like, pain or something.
So he gives up Luke's name, and can you blame him? So he says his name...
The best thing is, like, everyone is just going about their business, and this is...
Yeah, I also appreciated that.
Yeah. So he says his name is... Huh?
And it was also after like his huge scene, he just grabs this guy and puts him on the table, and then everyone's just like, okay, now we can go back to drinking.
Yeah. So he says his name's Luke Skywalker. He's the one you're looking for, I swear. Boba Fett wants to know who he is. He's a moisture farmer and a bush pilot. Lives with his aunt and uncle. Used to hang around Tashi Station with Biggs, and we called him Wormy. Please don't hurt me anymore. That is a nod to a deleted scene from... A New Hope, where we see Tashi Station and Biggs and stuff that is on YouTube. If anyone hasn't seen that, it's kind of neat to see some footage from that very old movie that is newish. But this kid goes on to tell Boba Fett that he saw Luke in Mos Eisley with Kenobi. Trying to get off world. And he says all that he wanted was a drink. And, he calls him Mr. Fett. I love that. I told you all I know. Can I go now, Mr. Fett? And Boba Fett says yes, and then blows him to hell.
Yeah. Just one shot right to the heart, too. Like a perfect angled shot right at his heart.
Not even really looking at him.
Yeah, but, it was beautiful.
Yeah, and he goes, yeah, so we've seen Boba Fett murder a teenager.
So much for the anti-hero.
He's just a villain.
My dreams of that are out the window.
I'm good with that, though. I think, well, what...
Yeah, no, oh, no, it's good. It's definitely good. I'm not complaining, but...
Seeing Boba Fett introduced like this and then going and watching The Empire Strikes Back is super effective, because...
Yeah. That, you know what kind of guy he is.
But, because they keep him mysterious. They're not going into his backstory at all. But, like, you get to see what gives him this reputation going into that movie without really learning anything about him. And I think that that's a really neat angle to take. So we cut back to Luke and R2-D2 in the desert.
And they're on their way to Ben's house, apparently.
Yeah. So he has no clue what he's going to find there. Probably nothing. But what else was I where else was I supposed to go? Everything I know about the Force, about being a Jedi, which isn't much, I learned from old Ben. And even though he's gone, I can't help but feel like he still has something left to teach me. And then, to which R2 says, beep, Buddha, wuru.
So deep.
Insightful.
And Luke tells R2-D2 that he hears Ben's voice sometimes, and then this Tusken Raider pops out, and they fight.
And Luke is much more prepared this time.
Yeah.
Compared to the last time a Tusken Raider snuck up on him.
He has time to warn his droid about it, which I feel like the droid has to be immediately aware when he hears the sound.
Why didn't R2... I mean? Maybe... Oh, is R2-D2... I like to think that beep Buddha Wuru means shut the fuck up, there's sand people around.
Yeah, maybe.
He's trying to warn him already, and then he's just like, look out, let me protect you, R2-D2.
But, yeah. So he chases the sand people away from Obi-Wan's hut. Because they seem to be looting it.
Get out of here.
Get away from there.
yeah, that's such a perfect like imitation of his voice. But actually, now that you do that, though, some of the illustrations of his face, this comic, have been definitely less doofier and more like... He's like a young kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I guess I noticed more that, like, or I picked up on, you know, it's a young kid having to do all this shit, whereas before I kind of laughed at that. So his art definitely, I think, made Luke a little more relatable, I guess. There was just something about his eyes in one of the previous panels where it was like, oh, man, like, this is a, I don't know, I'm connecting with Luke here more than I usually do.
I feel like I need to go back and look at the earlier issues, but, like, I feel like the first, like, two or three were not as detailed as this in the art.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
And it was a little more cartoonish, but this is and we should relate with Luke. It's high time. Anyway, then we cut to deep space, the Ganeth Cloud. Oh, I guess we're not in the Ganeth Cloud.
He's listing up those systems that the princess wants to go.
Yeah, because
they're looking for a new base, right? Yeah, they're looking for a new base.
They're in a nifty Imperial shuttle. Which is a ship that I've always liked.
That's definitely a classic.
But, so Han is listening. He says, quite the list of scenic locales you got here, princess. And she tells him it's not a sightseeing tour. And she's just on task this whole time. And he's trying to poke some holes in her veneer of professionalism. And he wants to go to the beach.
Who doesn't? I know I do.
Yeah. So she says, don't make me regret this more than I already do. She's trying to remember why you're here. He wants to know how is he the co-pilot. He doesn't see anyone else here who captains their own ship. And he says, she says, this isn't your ship. And he says, it isn't yours either. Stolen Imperial shuttle. She says she helps steal it. Yeah, they're just...
This is like the classic just Luke and Han thing. I mean, Leia and Han thing they're always doing.
Back and forth. We won't read it all, but...
We don't need to give them all these details. But then anyway, so these TIE fighters, though...
Yes.
Then some TIE fighters show up.
Yep.
Which is a big deal.
They want them to identify themselves. And is this where Han kind of blows it here? By taking the wheel and...
Yeah, Leia's totally got a plan here, and she's like, this is exactly why we did this. We stole a shuttle so that if someone finds us, we just tell them the code, and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And she gives said code, and these TIE fighters are ready to approve of her leaving, and then Han takes the wheel.
Yeah.
And he
does
decides,
a barrel roll.
Yeah, immediately does the barrel roll right around
evasive this, maneuvers.
Right around the same time, they're like, all right, you're approved. And
Crack,
just like, all right, time to get the fuck out of here.
Crack.com had a video a few months ago that was, they were exploring the possibility that Han Solo is kind of dumb. It was just all the evidence from the movies that Han might be kind of dumb.
And, I had assumed that.
Yeah.
But, so...
Well, it calls him an idiot, so yeah. That supports this theory so far, if it was months ago.
Yeah. So are they going to... okay, they're in the Madel sector. How far is the Monsua Nebula? How far is it to the Monsua Nebula? A few light years, then we're in luck. I know a place. So they blast over to this Monsua Nebula, I guess is what it's called.
And there's a thing following them.
No, they went to a planet that the computer doesn't recognize as a planet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're like, shit, this should just be some gas and shit. And it just sort of looks like that.
Does. It just looks like a gaseous ball. But nope, it's a lightning planet.
Yep.
Pew pew.
So, Han knows what's up, though. This is his little secret spot. And he loses the TIE fighters here. Oh, but, I forgot this about... Well,
I think
says,
this is this
you.
A tracker that follows them, though, do you, on this panel beep, here where beep. It says, yeah, we'll join the club.
Yeah, well, we're gonna find out about that in the next issue. I think... I mean, that's what my understanding
is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Because they are being tracked, but not by the Empire. So she says, I can't believe I'm going to die here with you. You are without a doubt the worst smuggler I've ever met. And he says, frankly, lady, you aren't much of a princess. And she says, I hate you. I love her face there, too.
I hate you.
And he says, yeah, we'll join the club. Which, does Han hate himself? I hope not. He's a cool guy.
He's a lady killer. There's a lot of ladies who hate him.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I get it.
Or so he would like us to believe.
Cut to this lady who hates him. This ship is really cool. I don't know if we've seen this yet. It's clearly from the same company that makes Millennium Falcons. She sees that was her probe.
Yeah,
Nebula look a lot like the Death Star?
You look a lot like the Death Star.
Yes. I think that's just...
coincidence.
Yeah. It's just kind of the way that it's rendered, but... So she says, a dog always returns to its favorite den, doesn't it? They have dogs?
They have some sort of concept of dogs.
Yeah. I imagine they've got mutts. Dogs.
I've got you now, you sorry son of a bantha. And she zooms off.
Oh, no, she didn't.
I want a scale of, like, how rude or how insulting some of their, like, curse words are. Like, is that really bad, or is that just kind of like, oh, you're a dick?
Yeah.
Son of a bantha. Is that son of a bitch? Son of a bitch.
It would be about son of a bitch level.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Unless I bet it's softer on Tatooine because banthas are actually around.
Yeah, they're kind of common.
Like yeah, it's but a dogs word. Are common.
Yeah, but nobody.
Yeah, but I don't think
anyone
makes the connection.
Unless you're a dog breeder, you don't use the word bitch a whole lot. You just say dog. Whereas I feel like Tatooine people hear the word bantha a lot more than just the...
Yeah, agreed.
But anyway,
speaking of Tatooine, I think
we're back on Tatooine now. Nice segue. The sand people run away.
Mm-hmm. The same sand people that were in Ben's house that Luke was attacking.
And Luke is all like, oh no, if they hadn't run away, I might have killed them. Oh no. And the little children too. Fuck you, Luke. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we've already had one shitty Skywalker.
Well, I thought that was just kind of an interesting part where it's kind of like he basically says, I would have done the exact same thing if they hadn't ran. So, like, I always viewed as, like, you know, Luke's supposed to be the good version of him and, like, making all the right choices. But then he's basically just like, I would have done the same thing if they didn't just run away from me, like.
Yeah. But it wouldn't have mattered. He wouldn't have been straight up murdering them. Like, they were. It's a different situation.
House invaders. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Right? Stand your ground. He's fine.
Yeah. I'm sure Tatooine has a stand your ground law.
Of course they do.
That's all anyone does on Tatooine is they stand their ground. But anyway. Luke does not slay all the sand people.
No.
Nope.
He's more concerned with his house.
He feels his anger and frustration, and something tells him that that's not the path to becoming a Jedi. But he needs answers, R2. Let's hope Ben left us a few. But it's a mess in there.
It's an absolute mess.
What was Ben Kenobi doing with all this stuff?
I don't think he even had that much stuff.
Yeah. Right? But, like, why would all of this be in his house?
He's secretly a hoarder. I mean, you never know. It's possible.
But we were here, like, 2 weeks ago in the movie. Like,
that was the one room that he keeps presentable for guests.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they start rooting around in this stuff, and Luke is speculating about why Ben spent all those years out here in the middle of nowhere.
And then they find his porn stash.
Shit. I'm sure somebody's gone to the trouble of translating what that says on the cover there, but I have not.
And it says, for Luke?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Then we
see a something comes bouncing in. And then
flashbang.
And then
the introduction to our podcast pans across the screen.
Yeah. I thought as a pirate sound.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've done it in other, I guess maybe I've just never noticed this, but they have like a normal sized word bubble and the word just comes out of it. Like that's really neat. Maybe I've just never noticed it in the past, but I really, really like that. That kind of shows just how loud and how obnoxious he's yelling "Arr!" right now.
He says it like a pirate.
It knocked him back. And, you know, pirate is sometimes a regular reaction for people.
So, but I get that he talks to R2-D2 because R2-D2 is his buddy. But what's R2-D2 going to tell him right now? Like, R2, what happened? Like, I can't see.
Beep, beep, beep.
Boba Fett came in, dummy.
Yeah.
Try to warn you about that 20 minutes ago, and you just didn't fucking listen.
Remember those sand people?
Yeah. And that's it for issue number 5.
Very, very interesting place to end, actually.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. Nice cliffhanger.
Yeah. That one was really, it moved at a good clip.
We got a lot out of it.
Like, I found, like, the first 3 issues, 4 I thought was really good, but when they were still doing the heist on the planet, I thought that was kind of drawn out too far, and I feel like they've tightened up the pacing a lot in these last couple of issues of this.
Yeah, I agree.
And it might just have to do with the fact that all of our heroes have been split up now. I think it's always more interesting when you're cutting between a few different things.
I'm wondering if it's also got anything to do with, like, they have direction now. Like, in the middle there, I don't know if they actually knew how it was going to end up. And I feel like by this point, they kind of know where they're going.
Yeah. And so they can... Well, I don't – there's a lot of story oversight with the Lucasfilm story group, but I don't know what pace they're going at with these comics. Because I do know that there is, like, an oversight committee to make sure that everything works with everything else now, which they never had before the reboot, which is a good thing, I guess, that to maintain – consistency along these things. But yeah, I don't know. I would think that they at least have things outlined pretty far in advance because of that. But who knows?
All right.
That was Skywalker Strikes Part 5.
Yeah. We've got one more part to Skywalker Strikes.
One part.
And then we will officially have ended the first arc of Star Wars, which I guess we're gonna record that right now. But I also do wanna I'm probably gonna hold off on releasing that until we have a plan for Vader 5 and 6 because those really like intersect with each other. It would be good to try to get those out as close to each other as possible. So that was Star Wars number 5, and we like it. We like it a lot.
And, we do.
We're going to be back real soon.
Yeah. Robbie's shaking his head.
Fuck you, Robbie. It's a good comic. Yeah, so we're going to be back real soon.
Eating a pizza crust.
What?
He says he was eating a pizza crust.
Oh, okay.
And you said fuck you to him.
No, you told me that he shook his head when I said that we liked this comic.
No, I said he nodded his head.
Oh, you said no. You said
shook it up
and
down.
Should I check the tape?
Check the tape, Joe.
God damn it!
Okay, okay, we're gonna. There's no way to do that. Well, so I'm gonna believe what I want to believe, and you can believe what you want to believe, and we can just try to move forward like professionals. Rather than talk too much about. What's going on in the Skywalker Strikes world right now. Since the next issue is already out, we are going to save the discussion for that issue, I think, which we'll be getting at you very shortly because we're going to record it right now. We will see you a little later. But for now, may the Force be with you. This has been a Star Wars Comics podcast. Get at us at RAR on Twitter, WRR, 6 A's, 2 R's. Same handle on Gmail, RAR.Podomatic.com.
Gmail, all you
Well,
Gmail
no, email
people.
Email us. Comments, questions, feedback, suggestions. Like, you can get at us on email.
Just do it on Twitter.
Or Twitter, Podomatic, if you must, but...
We don't have one of them Facebook things yet.
No.
I was thinking we could get a Google Plus.
Fuck Facebook. Google Plus.
We're going to single-handedly bring Google Plus back.
Yeah.
But until
Twitter
then,
us about
until
Google
then,
Plus.
Tweet at us or email us. all right, have a good night, everybody, or day. I don't know when you're listening to this, but we record them at night.
Morning.
So,
good night, everyone.
Works. Yeah, good night.
Good
everybody.
Night.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay. All right.
Beer
break. Beer
time.
Yep.